From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Book of Acts as he brings the opening portion of a message called The Name of the Lord Jesus. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Gift of Strength, Peace to Bless. The text is Psalm 29 and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David had just heard the voice of the Lord in a thunderstorm, and had seen his power in the hurricane whose path he had described. And now, in the cool calm after the storm, that overwhelming power by which heaven and earth are shaken is promised to be the strength of the chosen. He who wings the unerring bolt will give to his redeemed the wings of eagles. He who shakes the earth with his voice will terrify the enemies of his saints and give his children peace. Why are we weak when we have divine strength to flee to? Why are we troubled when the Lord's own peace is ours? Jesus, the mighty God, is our strength. Let us put him on and go forth to our service. Jesus, our blessed Lord, is also our peace. Let us repose in him this day and end our fears. What a blessing to have him for our strength and peace, both now and forever. That same God who rides upon the storm in days of tempest will also rule the hurricane of our tribulation and send us before long days of peace. We shall have strength for storms and songs for fair weather. Let us begin to sing at once unto God our strength and our peace. Away, dark thoughts! Up, faith and hope.
Trust in the Lord with all.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26 record the first miracle wrought by the apostles after Pentecost, the healing of the lame man at the temple. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns calls attention to the time of the miracle, the hour of prayer. It's always true that prayer and power go together. Of paramount importance is the fact that the healing of the lame man was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the key to the teaching of the chapter, the power of Christ's name. Now to introduce this message entitled, The Name of the Lord Jesus, here is Dr. Cairns.
Acts chapter 3 introduces us to the first miracle performed by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ after the day of Pentecost. You remember during the past weeks as we have been studying these opening chapters of Acts, I remarked how that again and again, quite naturally, we're going to mark the first occurrence of this and the first occurrence of something else. And of course, the first of anything in Scripture is always of great spiritual and practical significance. In fact, you will find that the first mention of a thing normally sets the tone for every other mention which is to follow. I'm not going into that this morning. I just mention that in passing, for it's a very important canon of interpretation. If I may say this to you, if you're studying the Scriptures, you should get the first mention. Dr. Paisley always likes to emphasize in his preaching the law of the first mention. So find the first mention of anything you're studying in the Bible. And then find the final mention of anything which you're studying in the Bible. There's also a law of the final mention. And then you'll find somewhere in between those, there is the full mention. The Scripture is not just a conglomeration of writings. The Scripture is not merely the production of man, but even in its very symmetry, as well as in its scriptural content, it is the production of the Holy Ghost. And you will find that when you get the first mention and the final mention, then you go from those to the full mention, that you get in fullness what the Scriptures are teaching on a particular subject. Now, I'm not going to do that with the subject before us this morning, for if I did, you'd be here to the evening service. But we are going to look at this first mention of a miracle by the apostles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ after the day of Pentecost. We notice that Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. It was the ninth hour. Now, that's a very suggestive statement. And again, we have only time to sketch in its suggestiveness. But in Matthew 27 and verse 46, we learn that it was at this very hour the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Isn't it significant that at this very hour, the Lord Jesus Christ was feeling shut out? And yet this is the hour that God had appointed for men to come in the place of prayer. Now, we read in Matthew 27 and verse 51 that when the Lord Jesus had so cried, that then God rended the veil. There was the rent veil from top to bottom. And there is the glorious truth that because Christ was shut out, he opened the way whereby we may go in. Because he bore the wrath of God. The wrath of God from us is now removed. Because he endured the pains of separation, we now have the privilege of reconciliation. And at the hour of prayer, we can enter into the presence of God. Thank God it is on the ground of Christ's sacrifice. It is on the ground of Christ's blood shedding that we enter in. As Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 put the subject very clearly. Having therefore boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Thank God he who cried at the ninth hour, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Open for us a way into God's presence. And at that hour of prayer, and indeed every other hour of the day, we can enter in to the Lord's presence in prayer. It's interesting also that it was at the ninth hour that Cornelius was in prayer. At the ninth hour, which was the third session of prayer that the Jews set for each day, the third, the sixth, and the ninth hours were the hours of prayer. Isn't it interesting how much time, at least nominally, they gave to prayer? Whether they really prayed or not is another matter, for Judaism was in apostasy by this time. But isn't it interesting? I think it makes it even more interesting that even an apostate Judaism still laid great emphasis in the public hour of prayer. I think there's a lot of Christian churches could learn from that. We're living in the disgraceful situation where churches have time for everything but prayer. When prayer is pushed into the corner, when the prayer meeting just gets into the church calendar of activities by the back door. I once read a tract, I think it was produced in the United States many years ago, on the death of Madam Prayer Meeting. And I think it's very true in most places. But here we have Cornelius, as I say, in the 10th chapter of Acts, verse 30. And at the ninth hour of prayer, he is seeking God. Now, I know that I can't press this too much, but I think that there at least is a practical point that I can make. that when God's people will give themselves to the hour of prayer, it'll not belong to sinners who are giving themselves to the place of prayer. When God's people really get down to the business of praying and seeking God and power, then it will be that sinners will get down to pray. And they'll be crying, God, show me the way of life. Here was Cornelius, a Roman, a man from a heathen background, a man whose mind, by all accounts, should have been as black and dark as heathenism could make it. But obviously, he had learned something of the Lord Jehovah. He had learned something about the efficacy of prayer. And he was crying to God, God, save me. And God sent him a man who could lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, let's not miss the lesson. Let's give ourselves to prayer. It certainly is important that God's people come to the public times of prayer. Now, I want to emphasize this. Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. Did they not pray back in the upper room? Certainly they did. Did they not pray in fulfillment of the words of Christ? When ye pray, enter into your closet and close to the door. And when you have shut the door and pray to your Father which is in secret, he which hears in secret will reward you openly. Did they not do that? Certainly they did. But they weren't so hypocritical as very many modern day Christians. They didn't say, oh, I don't need to go to the public prayer meeting because I pray at home. My friend, let me say this. These people, if anybody had an excuse not to go, had an excuse not to go. They could say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by these Jews. And the temple is really the center of a Christless and apostate worship. But they went up because it was still the house of God. The Lord Jesus Christ had called it my house. And so they went up to it. And when the hour of prayer came, they were not going to be missing. They were there at the public stated time for prayer. My friend, it is important that when you pray at home, you should also follow it up by the public time of prayer. It is important to a church that we give our best endeavors to pray. It is important that every available member should use every conceivable means to get to the place of prayer. It is vital to the future ministry of this church, if we are ever going to do anything for God, that God's people start putting themselves out to get to the prayer meeting. We do not say, Lord, I have other things to do. Certainly you have other things to do. Do you think the devil will ever let you be free for a prayer meeting night? Do you think the devil will never work it so that you have other things to do when the prayer time comes? You'll always have things to do. My friend, let us give ourselves to prayer. Let us not neglect the public time of prayer. Let us not say, well, I'm praying at home. These things cannot be substituted the one for the other. You can't give up praying at home because you come to the church prayer meeting. You can't give up coming to the church prayer meeting because you pray at home. They are complementary parts of the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's get to prayer. Isn't it interesting that it was on the way to prayer that they met with this man and that they exercised the power of God? You will notice again and again in Scripture that prayer and power go together. Give me the Christian who prays little and he'll be as weak as water. Give me the Christian who prays little and he has no power to stand up for God in this apostate age. He has no power to get anything much from the Bible. He has no power to win a soul for Christ. He has no power even to enjoy the Lord. You get a prayerless or semi-prayerless Christian, for I think really if you've got a prayerless person, you've got an unsaved person. A Christian must always feel some inner compulsion to pray. And if he's totally prayerless, I don't believe he's saved at all. I think that the mark of the Christian is behold, he prayeth. But get a Christian who's lacking in his prayer life, and you'll find he's lacking everywhere else. Prayer and power always go together. Now then, it was then at this time of prayer that Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. They met the man, as we have read, and in those immortal words, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he did not only rise up, they stretched out the hand, they lifted him, he got on his feet, jumping, leaping, praising God. And as Peter said in verse 16, he had perfect soundness. In fact, I think that 16th verse could be taken as the key to the entire chapter. His name, that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man whole, or strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The key, then, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're studying the third chapter of Acts, you'll find that the name of Jesus Christ is central to the whole chapter, and indeed it's central to the whole book. Now we're going to take that key and we're going to look at the third chapter of Acts by using the name of the Lord Jesus as the key to open up its truths. I want to talk about three things basically, and I have to emphasize basically because there's a lot of other things I want to talk about under each thing. But basically, I want to talk about the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of his name. And then from a little later, we'll talk from verse 12 through on the preaching of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you will notice in a moment how the miracle and the message went hand in hand together. And then toward the end, in fact, taking verse 26 and linking it up with verse 19 through to 21, you'll have pardon. Now, this is a great theme through the scriptures, pardon, which is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first, let's think of the power of his name. I want you to get it clearly what it says here. His name, through faith in his name. I want you to put through faith in his name in parentheses or in brackets there, so that you'll get the full force of what it says. His name hath made this man strong. That's what Peter's saying in verse 16. His name hath made this man strong. So this miracle was wrought through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his power, by his authority, this man was healed. Now I want you to consider this healing first literally and then spiritually. Let us have the healing literally considered. The Lord had power to heal. Now, that's a bold statement of fact. The name of Jesus Christ was able instantaneously to give strength to the bones of a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. Immediately infuse such power into those bones and immediately give the man the skill that others have to learn with many falls along the way. The skill to stand on his 2 feet. The skill not only to stand, but to walk, to leap, to jump, so that he was as if he had never been sick at all. Now that was a miracle. And it was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the power to do that. There's a big controversy today. Is the Lord Jesus Christ still able to heal? And there are many of the, what's called in theology, the ultra-dispensational school of thought that will say, no, this period in Acts was merely a transition period and that those things cannot be expected nowadays. Well, let me say at the first that there's nothing in the Bible that tells me Acts is a transition period. Nothing in the Bible which says this isn't for me and it isn't for this age. And therefore, I reject that notion. Second, I do find in the Bible that the Lord does not change. He certainly is no change in his person, no change in his power. And if he had the power to heal then, he has the power to heal today. So it all comes down to a matter, is it God's purpose so to do? Has the Bible said that he will cease doing these things? Well, I think that we can say this with certainty. That at the inauguration of any great epoch in God's workings with men, there is always a mighty demonstration of miraculous power. This happened, say, with Moses. It certainly happened at the ministry of Christ. And it happened here at the beginning of the ministry of the apostles.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.